We begin the new Masechta, Masechta Sukkah. We begin with Daf Beis. Now, the first two parakim of this Masechta will be speaking primarily about the halachas of the Sukkah, which is one of the prominent features of the Yom Tov of Sukkot. And our Masechta and this parak and this Mishnah will begin with the measurements of the halacha of Sukkah. So the Mishnah begins, Sukkah shehi gavoy lamayla me'esrim amah. A Sukkah, which is a hut that the Jewish people live in and dwell in for 7 days on the Yom Tov of Sukkot, that Sukkah, which is made higher than a height of 20 amas, is pesula, is invalid. For Behuda Maksha, however, Behuda says it's kosher, it will be a valid sukkah. And the Gemara is going to explain the machlek is what would be the reasoning behind invalidation of a sukkah that's higher than 20 amas. Now the Mishnah continues with other halachas of the shiurim, the measurements of the sukkah. B'she'ein gevaya asar tfachim. If the height of the sukkah is not higher than the height of 10 tfachim, which again the Gemara will explain the reason why that would make it invalid. B'she'ein l'shalosh tfanis, and if it doesn't have three walls, which again the Gemara will explain the reason how we know that a sukkah has to have three walls. And b'shechamasa merubim mitzilasa, if there is more sunlight than shade coming through from the top, from the sukkah, from the schach, which Rashi clarifies this based on halachic reasoning, which we always know that the miut, the minority, is batal, becomes nullified in the rive, in the majority. Now in this case, if you're getting more sunlight than shade, that means to say that the tzel, which is the shade coming from the schach, will become batal, will become nullified in the majority, which is the sun. Now, essentially, halachically, we view that as if it's not there. Now, Rashi defines an important fundamental that the whole definition of the name of the sukkah, where does that relate from? From the word schach. And therefore, if there's no schach, there's no sukkah. And the reason why there's no schach is because if you have more chamasa than tzilasa, you have more sunlight than shade, that means to say that the miut, the minority, the little of shade that you do have, is batal. It's as if it's not there. Like when it comes to halachas of kashrus, we view the treif as if it's not there, and therefore you could eat it. Hence over here, it's like there's no tzel, which means there's no schach, and if there's no schach, then there's no sukkah. And therefore the Mishnah concludes, psula, all these three different halachas that we said regarding the criteria of the sukkah, it has to be a height of 10 tfachim, it has to have at least three walls, and it has to have that it shouldn't have more sunlight than the shade. And the first halacha was a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, if it cannot be higher than 20 amas or not. Now the Gemara brings a Mishnah that seems to be the same beginning of a Masechta, like our Masechta of Sukkah, and asks a question. The Gemara says, Tznan Hasa, we learned over there in the beginning of Masechta's Erevin. It says, Mavoi. Now, a Mavoi is an area, a public-private type of area that's closed on three sides. Now, some would define it as an alleyway. It's an open area that's closed on three sides, and the open side opens up into the Rishus Aram, to the public domain. Now, the way the structure of their developments, their cities used to be, was that there were houses that would all open up into one courtyard. Then that courtyard would open up, as many other courtyards would open up, those chatzeris into a mavoi. And then those mavois would open up into the main center of the city, which is called the Rishus Harab. Now, so therefore, through these mavois, the people from the courtyards would then make their way through that mavoi into the Rishus Harab. Now, truthfully told in halacha, in Minatayra, this area of the Mavoi is considered a Rishus HaYachar, a private domain for the people that live in the Chatzar. Hence, on Shabbos, there should be no problem of carrying from where they are in their Chatzar to their Mavoi. However, the Chachamim made it forbidden to carry from their Rishus, which even if, let's say, they made what's called a Rubi Chatzeris. Every Chatzar, every bias in that Chatzar joined together, and therefore made it like one big house. Everyone could carry in their Chatzar in their own little development. Now, however, carrying into the Mavoi should also be allowed because it's still an extension of the Rishus HaYachad. However, the Chacham said it's forbidden to do that without an Eruv, which in the case of a Mavoi would be called Shituf and Mavoi, joining together all the Chatzeres into the Mavoi as if it's one big Chatzer, which is one Rishus HaYachad. And the reason is because all the Chatzeres, when they make an Eruv Chatzeres, they're all considered our own distinct private domain. Now, the problem is the Mavoi is a Rishus for everybody. And therefore, it can get confused with a Rishus Aram because, hey, we can carry into the Mavoi. Now, although halachically it's a Rishus HaYachad, but it seems the same to everyone else that's unlearned, that it seems like the same as the Rishus Aram because this is our own private area, this is a shared area, and still allowed to carry, so they might come to think they could carry in Rishus Aram. So therefore, Chazal required what's called a Shituf. Shituf and Mavoi, which joins all the Chatzeres, all the courtiers together as if they're one private domain, which they essentially are, but it requires it that we can see it as such, by joining together with joining with bread or with wine, and then they take all that they gathered, which is called the Shituv, they put in one of the courtyards, and it's as if that every other area is really an extension of that courtyard, which is one Rishus, so it's as if we're all living together in one happy family in one house, and then everyone realizes that this is Rishus HaYachad, and this is very much different than the Rishus HaRab. However, there's another concern. Besides that, we just took care of that component, which is to show everybody that, look, we're joining this together. Rabbinically, we're showing that this is one Rishus HaYachad. However, it doesn't have a fourth wall. It's only closed on three sides, this Mavit. Now, therefore, it could get confused just geographically. In other words, when you're looking at it, it can look like it's the Rishus HaRam, because you can't tell where does the Mavit end and where does the Rishus HaRam begin. So therefore, Chazal required another component for this sheet of Mavis. They had to put some type of a hecker, some type of signifying a symbol to show that this is where the Mavli ends, and then the Rosh Hashanah is beyond that to know that, okay, although we made the Shituv, up until here you could carry, this is part of the Mavli, which is Rosh Hashanah, and that's Rosh Hashanah. So one could do either one of two things. Either he could put a lechi, which is some type of a stick that's vertical, that's on the side at the edge of the mavli, or a kaira, which is a beam that's going horizontally from one wall to the other wall, which is by that dead end, which, so to speak, you have by the edge, you have from those edges, so that pole at the top shows, okay, this is where it ends, and don't go past that. Now, regarding that halacha of the mavli, that's what the Mishnah beginning of Masechet Zeirvin says, that if shahu, that this beam is gevaya, is higher me esther amama, it's higher than 20 amas, then the halacha is yimayid. Then he has to go ahead and lower down the beam. It can't be higher than 20 amas. Rabbi Huda Imer in the tzach says you don't have to, and there the Gemara explains the reason why that is in their machlek, is why the Chacham hold that you have to make it lower, it can't be higher than 20 amas, and Rabbi Huda says you don't have to. Now either way, the Gemara asks the following question. Maishno gabi sukkah de tani psula. Why in our Mishnah regarding halacha of sukkah, when we say that the schach cannot be higher than 20 amas, we say if it is higher, it's invalid. End of story, this is not kosher. Maishno gabi mavi de tani takanta. But why by mavi, when they said what seems to be the same type of halacha, that the kaira, the beam, cannot be higher than 20 amas when it's by a mavi, it doesn't say, okay, psula, it's invalid. It says how to rectify it, bring it down. Why by sukkah don't we do that? We just say, okay, it's not kosher. Why don't we give an idea, give a takana, say what we should do, just like by mavi, we don't just say, okay, it's possible. We say a takana. So the Gemara gives two answers. First answer is sukkah deiraisa. The halacha that a sukkah cannot be higher than 20 amas, as the Gemara will explain on this daf, is learnt out from the Torah. It's a biblical law. Now, therefore, before the Mishnayis, which is what we're reading from here when we start, before they were put together, we already had this halacha from Har Sinai when Moshe Rabbeinu told it to us. Hence, it's appropriate to be Tani Psula. You can say a terminology when we're codifying the law, when Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, and everyone's putting together, or whenever the Messiah is that the Mishnayos were made up, we could say, look, this is invalid. It wasn't done how the Torah told us to do it, and as halacha was mustered to us from Har Sinai. We know this halacha. If you do it higher than this, that's not valid for the halacha that we know. Whereas Mavoi, the whole halacha of Mavoi from its inception is only Drabbanan, it's rabbinic law, because as we said before, Minat Torah, it's enough to have just three walls, and you don't even need this beam at all. The whole thing of the beam is a rabbinic invention to say that we want people to realize where does it end and where does the Shazram begin. Hence, Tani Takanta, we had to say a rectification, what we should do. In other words, because you can't say the terminology of apostle, it's invalid. Who made it invalid before you told us in this Mishnah that there is such a halacha? This is the first place where you're mentioning it. It's the rabbis who invented it. Hence, we can't say, okay, you know what? This is invalid. Invalid for what? What do you mean? Who said we even need a kaira? So when you're introducing the halacha of the kaira in the first place, you have to say it in a way that, oh, if you're going to do it higher than 20 amas, that's not going to be the way. We have to go ahead and make it lower. But now we can't say the terminology of invalid, because invalid means to say that I know what should be done. And if I do it otherwise, I deviate, that will not be good. But I don't know about the halacha of mavi until you're introducing it. Hence, we're first defining the criteria. And that's why I tell you that if it is higher, then you make it lower, because you can't say the halacha of pasul, because it's not something that we know about beforehand. And if you want, you could say another difference. And that is, b'dayraisa namitani, that truthfully, even regarding biblical halachas, like the halacha of sukkah, that it can't be higher than 20 amas, it also is possible and feasible and appropriate to say takanta. You could also say, even though we know that it's possible, but if you're coming to say halacha of sukkah, you could say that you could make it lower. Miu sukkah dinafishin milayum. The halachas of sukkah in our Mishnah are many, and that is all their rectifications, all their takanas to fix the problem if you would do it like this or like that are many. And therefore, we would have to go through a whole long list in our Mishnah. For example, let's say the halacha of that it's higher than 20 amos. We would have to say, okay, lower it. Regarding the halacha that it's not high enough, which is below 10 tefachim, we would have to say, okay, make it higher. Regarding the halacha that there's not three walls, we would have to say, okay, make three walls. Regarding that if there's more sunlight than shade, we would have to say, okay, add shade, add more schach. And therefore, pasig v'tani psula. So therefore, we would clear cut, we were precise, and we said it as succinct as possible. And we just said, you know what? It's invalid. Because that way we could put everything under the same umbrella with the term of psula. And the reason for this is, as Rashi brings from a Gemara Pesachim on Gimel Amud Beis, that Yishana Odom L'Tamid Derech Ketzar, you should always teach your students in as short and precise as possible, so as not to confuse them. Hence, we don't want to make our Mishnah double the size by having to repeat everything, okay, this, do that, that, do that. We just said, psula, it's invalid, and then we know what we have to do. Mavoi deloy nafish milayub. However, regarding the halachas of Mavoi in that Mishnah, beginning with Masechtas Erevin, we didn't say many different errors of the halacha. So Tan Dekanta, therefore we said, okay, what you should do is go ahead and make it lower because we don't have to make it on a whole run-on list. We could still keep it very short and concise. That's where over there we said Takana. Here we didn't because or else we'd have to be very, very long and we want to be as short and precise as possible. And that's where we just, to put all these different invalidations in one category, we said Psula. Now that we clarified why here we say psula and there we say the takana of lowering it, nothing more goes to the source of this halacha. From where do we know this halacha that a sukkah that's higher than 20 amos is going to be invalid? So the Gemara brings three interpretations. Amar Rabba, Rabba says, the amakra, the pasuk that tells us that you should make a sukkah that when you're sitting inside of it, it's recognizable to you that you're sitting in a sukkah. Because the Amakra, the pasuk in Biyukra says, "Lema'an yedu darisechem," so that your generation should know, "Ki basukos hayishavti es bnei Yisrael," because that in Hutz I made the Jewish people sit. Now, the way Rab is interpreting the pasuk, it's that the word hayishavti means that I have commanded them to sit, so that they should know. What should they know? That I have commanded them to sit in sukkahs. Now, although, as Rashi says, that Mikra en Yotim de Pshuta, the simple translation of the Pasuk really stands, which it's really a reference to the Anan HaKavod, the clouds of glory that the Jewish people sat in, and that's why we make sukkahs to commemorate that. So that's why that they should know, your generations, that I sat you in sukkahs, which means a reference to the Anan HaKavod, and that's why they're sitting in. However, this is the Drasha component of the Pasuk that we Rab is interpreting it, and therefore he says as follows, Ad Esrim Amo Odom Yudeishu Dar B'Sukkah. A schach that's up until 20 amas, the person realizes that he's sitting in the sukkah. And therefore that qualifies for the halach of l'man yedu darisechem, that they should know that I've commanded them to sit in the sukkah. They'll realize, hey, what am I doing over here? I see the schach, I realize I'm in the sukkah. That's a fulfillment of the halach of sukkah. L'may l'mi yeser ma'amo, ein odm yudei shudar b'sukkah. When the schach is higher than 20 amas, then he doesn't even know that he's sitting in the sukkah. Why? Mishum delei sholta be'enam. Because one's vision doesn't reach that high. It's not something that generally a person will notice. And therefore, since he's not going to notice the schach, as we said before, that the whole definition of sukkah is from the same word of schach. And therefore, if you're sitting, and yes, you see the beautiful decorations, you see the walls, but if you're not noticing the schach, then you're not fulfilling l'man yedu darisechem kibas sukkahs, because sukkahs is only schach, and hence when it's higher than 20 amos, that's something that's beyond a normal person's range of vision, and therefore you're not going to be aware and mindful of the fact that you're sitting in the sukkah, and that's why l'ma l'meser ma'am it's going to be puzzle. Now the Gemara brings a second source for this. Reb Zeira Amar Mihachi says the source for this halacha is from a different pasuk, a pasuk in Yeshaya. The pasuk says, V'sukkah tia l'tzil yoyme mecharib, that the sukkah, the hut, will be for shade on a day from its heat. Now, that sounds like that the whole term of sukkah is only because the schach is something that provides tzel, that provides shade. And therefore, he qualifies Allah as follows. That since we see that the definition of a sukkah is something that has to be making tzel, so ad esrim amo adam yeshu b'tzel sukkah, up until 20 amos, the person that's sitting beneath the schach is sitting in the shade of the sukkah, of the schach. L'maylam yesrim amo in odam yeshu b'tzel sukkah. If the schach is higher than 20 amos from the person that's sitting below it, he's not even sitting in the shade of the schach. Ela b'tzel defanis. Yes, he might be in a shaded area, but it's the shade of the walls. Because what happens is if the walls are going to reach up to a height of 20 amos and the schach is above that, that means the shades of the walls are overlapping each other because of the height of the walls, and therefore there's no necessity for the schach. Hence, it's not the schach that's providing shade, and hence you're not sitting in a sukkah that's litzel, because it's not the sukkah that's giving you tzel, it's actually the walls that's giving you tzel. Now, Rashi clarifies that it seems to be problematic, because if you make a huge sukkah in its length and its width, then you obviously will be getting the tzel of the schach, because the walls will not reach, even if they're above 20 tefachim. So that's what Rashi says, that later on the Gemara will qualify, that according to Reb Zeira, the machlokes of Reb Yehuda and Rabbanan is only in the sukkah that's 4 amas by 4 amas squared. Where there, the Rabbanan knew that measurement, one will not be getting the tzel of the schach, he's only going to be getting the tzel of the walls. But you're right, if you made a huge sukkah, then even if the walls are 40 amas, you'll still be getting the tzel of the schach. We're talking about when it's only 4 amas squared, then if the walls are above 20 amas, you're only going to be getting the tzel of the walls, not the tzel of the schach, and hence that's not sitting, so to speak, in the tzel of the sukkah. Now, another thing more asks, Amalei Abaya. Abaya asks on Reb Zeira's interpretation, he says, Ilamiyata, based on what you're saying, that you have to be sitting in the tzel, in the shade of the schach, not in any other shade, because then you're not sitting, quote, in a sukkah, then ha'oisa, Ilamiyata ha'oisa sukasi ba'ashtoreth karnayim, someone that makes his sukkah in ashtoreth karnayim. Now that was an area of two large mountains, and there was a valley in between them. Now if one makes his sukkah in that valley, because the mountains are so high, the sun never shines over there. It's always a shaded area. So, you tell me if someone makes a sukkah over there, that's not going to be a valid sukkah. Now, based on what you're saying, it shouldn't be a valid sukkah, because you're not getting the tzel of the sukkah, because you never have tzel over there. You never have chama to have the tzel of the sukkah. It's the tzel of the mountains, maybe, but not of the sukkah. So, Amalei says that no. Because obviously it would be very problematic to understand that would be possible, because nowhere do we find halacha that if it's essentially the appropriate sukkah, that if it's in an environment that will avoid that tzel, that it should be invalid. Because if it's not a sunny day, you tell me that's going to be possible. So he says no. The qualifying factor is as follows: Hasam dal ashtoreth kanaim. There, forget about ashtoreth kanaim. Let's say that they didn't exist, so it could sell sukkah. Then you would have the shade of the sukkah. If one just looks at the sukkah itself, it's an appropriate sukkah. And therefore, even if it's not a sunny day and you're not getting the shade of the schach, it's still intrinsically a kosher sukkah, so it'll be good. Hacha dal defan is here, even if you took away the walls of the sukkah that's higher than 20 amis, which we're saying that you're not getting the tzel of the schach, you're getting the tzel of the walls. So even if you took away those walls, and let's say we just looked at the schach itself, leketzel sukkah, you're still not sitting in the shade of the sukkah of the schach. And the reason is because then the sun would just come underneath the schach where the wall area is, that it's not there anymore. And therefore you see that there is no shame sukkah on this sukkah, because its schach is higher than 20 amas. Either way, whether you keep the walls there, the shade's going to be from the walls. And even if you remove the walls, like we're saying with Ashtoreth Kanaim, and you just look at the sukkah itself, you're still not going to be getting the shade, because the sun is going to be coming underneath, because since it's so high, then the sun just comes right underneath. And anyways, you're not going to be sitting in the tzel of the schach. And that's why Reb Zeira says that you can't compare it to the halacha of, let's say, when it's being done in Ashtoreth Kanaim, because then if you took away the mountains, it would be getting the tzel of sukkah. But here, intrinsically, in the essence of it, there's never going to be any shade of the sukkah, and therefore it's going to be invalid. Now the Gemara brings the third source. Rava Mahocha, he says from here, a pasuk in the Yukkah that says, Basukah is teshuva shivas yam, that in a sukkah, Hashem said that the Jewish people should sit for 7 days. Now, what that means is that it should be a sukkah of 7 days and not any more, which that means that's the qualifying factor of aroi. It has to be temporary, which is enough with just flimsy types of walls, because it only has to last for 7 days. Now, and therefore, Rava defines as follows. He says, Amr Taira, kol shavas hayamim, that the Torah is telling you all the 7 days of sukkahs, same midiris kava, v'shev midiris aroi, go out from your permanent dwelling and go into a temporary dwelling. Now, what that means is as follows. Ad esrim ama adam oisa dirasi diras aroi. Up until 20 amas is when a person can make his dwelling into a temporary dwelling, because it's not that high. It doesn't have to withstand such ear pressures, and therefore it could be temporary. Lamayla masrim ama, but if you're making a sukkah, if you're making a structure of a dwelling higher than 20 amas, in odem oisidi rosi diras aroi, then the person doesn't make it temporary, el diras kva, rather than he makes it into a permanent structure, because then the foundations and the walls have to be permanent that they don't fall down. You can't make just one of these sukkahs, which is going to fall down when it's so high. And therefore, that's why Rava says a sukkah lamayla mochaf am is going to be invalid, because then it already enters into the arena of a diras kva. However, the Torah is telling you that has to be a sukkah of 7 days, which is a temporary type of dwelling. Once you're making it so high and you have to make it permanent, then it's not an anymore temporary dwelling, it's already permanent, and that's not the sukkah. The whole purpose of a sukkah is to go out of a place where you live the whole year and of a temporary dwelling, which is only for 7 days. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, Omalei Abaye, again, Abaye asks a question on Rava's interpretation. It says, Elamiyata, now based on what you're saying, if he makes walls out of iron, and he puts schach on top of that, you tell me that also wouldn't be a kosher sukkah because it's permanent. These walls can last the whole entire year. It's one of these sukkahs that they don't fall down, guaranteed. So, but according to you, that's not aroi. It's not temporary. It has to be something that's flimsy. And here, when it's made of iron, it's not flimsy. It's kavua. Therefore, that shouldn't be fulfilling the chiyuv. So, Rav responded, no. He says, this is what I was telling you. Ad chof ama, up until 20 amas of a height, the adam oisa diras aroi, where a person could make, it's in the measurement of what qualifies in a certain category of a person could make his dwelling into a temporary dwelling. Now, ki avalei diras kava, and this is how Rav is addressing Abaye's question, even if you make it permanent in that category of lower than 20 amas, nami nafik, you'll still fulfill your chiv of a sukkah, of a diras aroi, and the reason is, as Rashi says interestingly, he says, almost like the famous concept of Bechlal Masayim Mono, that within $200, $100 is inside of that. So Rashi says, most definitely included in the category of making something a permanent structure, that includes, by default, that you're definitely having a temporary structure, because it will last for 7 days if it will last for a whole year. Now, therefore, you did it halachically, which is to make a diras aroi. Now, and the Rashi defines it even more. He says, because obviously the Torah is not telling you to make it temporary. Rather, it's giving you measurements. It's giving you criteria to say that what is the measurement of height that it could last if were one to make it with temporary foundations, with temporary type of structure. And that's what the Torah is telling you. It's not telling you exactly how to make it. It should be a sukkah of 7 days, that it could last for 7 days. What is that? That's within the category of being up to 20 amas. Now, more than 20 amas, by default, they cannot be aroi. And that's why if you did it lower than 20 amas, even if you made it out of iron, it's okay because you made a diras aroi. Although you made it kavadik, you made it permanently, but it's something that is inclusive of the halach of diras aroi. And therefore, you'll fulfill it that way. Whereas l'mayla mechaf amo, above 20 amas, the adam oisa diras diras kavad, which that is something that people make the structure, at least in measurements, in classification of categorical, then people make it into permanent structures. Therefore, ki avalei diras aroi, even if then the person is going to make it temporary, say, what do you mean? I made it aroi. It's not going to last more than a week, I guarantee you. Definitely going to collapse. Still, nami l'nafik. You will still not fulfill it in such a way, because again, the Torah gave you measurements, classifications. This is the category of category one, below 20 amas. That is the aroi category. Then there's above 20 amas, that's the kva category. And either one, if you made it kva or aroi, doesn't make a difference. It's still categorical, and therefore, if you made it out of iron, below 20 amas, it'll be kosher. And if you made it flimsy, higher than 20 amas, it's going to be possible. So again, those are the three different interpretations, the sources for this halacha, whether it's one of that Rabbi had said, because you have to know that you're sitting in the sukkah l'man yedu, which is only up till 20 amas that a person's vision generally sees. Then there was the interpretation of Reb Zera, which is that you have to be sitting in the tzel of the sukkah, and one only sits in the tzel of sukkah up until 20 amas. Above that, then he's not sitting in the tzel of a sukkah. And then you have Rava's interpretation, which is that it has to be a temporary dwelling, which is only something that's below 20 amas. Above 20 amas, that's already considered a diras kva. Now, the Gemara continues Amud Beis and says as follows. Kulu, all these different amirom, we have these three opinions. Why did they say different opinions? Why did those two not say like the third one? Why did each one argue in the other one? So the Gemara explains as follows. Karabale Amri, the other two opinions, the reason why they don't say like Rabba that learns out from Laman Yedu, which is that person's eyesight, his vision only reaches generally in his scope up until 20 amas, that's because Hahu, that pasuk of Laman Yedu is not talking about the knowing of the sukkah today, circa when we're sitting inside of it, that we should be aware of what we're sitting in. Rather, Yidila Dairis Hi, that Pasuk is talking about the knowledge of the future generations, that they should know what happened in the desert, that Hashem surrounded the Jewish people with huts of Anan, they covered a cloud of glory. That's what Leman Yedu they should know. Not that they should know today what they're sitting in, is they should know, which therefore you don't have to be sitting in the Schach, you're sitting in the hut to commemorate and to remember that Hashem had the Jewish people sitting in Anan, they covered a cloud of glory in the desert, and therefore they don't interpret it like Rabbah. They also don't say like Reb Zeru, who he learned it out, that we see Letzukah is Letzel, as we see from that Pasuk, because Hahuli Maysam Hashiachu Dechsev. Again, that Pasuk is not talking about Sukkahs Bezman Hazeh. That Pasuk is talking about the days when Mashiach is going to come, where the Pasuk is telling us the prophecy that those Sukkahs are going to be for shade, for pleasure, for concealment. But the Sukkah of the mitzvah that we sit in every year in Sukkahs, that's not for shade. And hence they don't learn like Reb Zeri, because that's not the Pasuk, it's not talking about our Sukkah of Sukkahs. However, Reb Zeri, he would answer to you that Im Kain, if it was like you're saying, that you argue on me and you wouldn't learn from that Pasuk, the halachas of Sukkahs, then Le Makra V'chupa Tiel Etel Yam. The Pasuk should have used the terminology of a canopy, of a covering, which will be, when Mashiach comes, will be for shade from the day. Now, umay the sukkah tila tel yamim, why does it pick the terminology, the definition of usage, which is that of a sukkah, that it's letzel yamim for the shade of the day, shamim in authority? Obviously, you can learn both halachas from there, because obviously the term and definition of sukkah is something that gives you tzel. And that's why the pasuk is really saying two ideas. It's telling us that this canopy, whatever it is, this hut, when Mashiach will come, that's made for shade, which yes, that will be what will be when Mashiach comes, but that's why it's called sukkah, because a sukkah is something that's made for tzel, and therefore that could reflect regarding our halacha of sukkah, that it has to be something that you're sitting in the shade of the schach, and therefore higher than 20 amos, it will be invalid, because it will not be giving you the shade. Now, karava namali amri, the Gemara says that they also didn't say like rava, the third interpretation, that it, because higher than 20 amos is not going to be a diris aroi, it's going to be a diris kava, is mishum kushu de abaya, because of Abaya's question. Abaya asked Rava, said, according to you, that it has to be temporary, then if you make it out of iron, then it should be puzzled. Now, they don't like Rava's answer to Abaya, which he said that, no, it's classifications, and as Rashi explains, the reason why they didn't like that answer was because the Torah is not telling you specifically to make it temporary, as we see, it could be made of iron. And therefore, they don't want to learn out from there a shear, as if it's telling us a certain measurement that it should be a sukkah the last 7 days, because of this differentiation that Rebbe wants to say that is a classification, but doesn't really have to be temporary. They don't like that answer, and therefore they don't say like Rebbe. And therefore, again, that's why each one said their own answer, because each one had a question that the other opinion didn't like. Now the Gemara asks as follows. Kanan, who from these Amiram that we just mentioned, Azla Hadrim Yerisha Amirav, who does this following qualification of the halacha of the machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, if it's possible higher than 20 amos the schach or not the sukkah, who of these three opinions would this qualification of Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav be like? And the Gemara is going to bring three different versions of qualifications in this halacha of being possible higher than 20 amos in the name of Rav, and the Gemara is going to ask, who from, like, because there's, although this halacha we know can't be higher than 20 amos, there are different sources. And if therefore, based on the source, it will have a different manifestation in its minutia of halacha. Because depending if the problem is you're not getting the shade, or because you're not going to realize, or if it's going to be not a temporary dwelling, will have different ramifications. So the Gemara wants to know, who is this halacha going like? Where Rav said, machlekes, the whole machlekes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan of our Mishnah, that it's, if it's possible, higher than 20 amos or not, is only b'she'in tfanes megis l'schach. That's only if the walls of the sukkah don't reach, they don't go all the way up to the schach. Of the fanes megis l'schach, but if the walls reach all the way up to the schach, then afil l'mayla mesra amakshera, then even according to Rabbanan, if it's higher than 20 amos, it will be kosher. On that, the Gemara has come out. Who is Rabbi Yisha in the name of Rav going like in the definition of what the psul of l'mayla mesra amakshera is, that when the walls do reach, it will not be invalid? That the Gemara says karaba, like the first interpretation of Rabba. He said the reason why it's possible is because it says in the pasuk leman yedu deri seichem that you should know, and higher than 20 amos you don't realize, you're not mindful of the schach. Now, but since as they're qualifying it, if the walls would touch the schach, then mishlet shalta be'ena, then the person's eyes would realize and notice the schach, because he would follow the walls all the way up. He sees the walls, he looks up, 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 and he sees where it connects to the schach, and therefore he'll be reminded of the schach, and he'll fulfill the man yedu. Because if it was one of the other reasons of aroi, so it doesn't become any less keva by the walls, if anything, becomes more keva when the walls reach the schach, and if the reason was because of the shade, then if the walls touch the schach, why would the Rabbana be Magdi? You're not going to be getting any more. If anything, you're going to be getting less tzel of the schach. You're going to be getting the tzel of the tfanis, and therefore it must be that this qualification of Rabbi Yishan, the name of Rav, was going with the opinion of Rav. Similarly, the Gemara brings, Kaman azlaha da'amar Rav Huna amar Rav. Who was this that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, qualifying this machlaikis? Which opinion would that be going like? Which Rav Huna's version of Rav was, machlaikis b'she'im bo ela arba amas al arba amas. The whole machlaikis between Rabbi Huda and the Chacham, if it's going to be invalid, higher than 20 amas or not, was only if it's an area of the sukkah of 4 amas squared. Ava yeshba yoysim arba amas al arba amas. But if there's more than the area of 4 amas squared, then a fila maila me'esrim amak sher, then even higher than 20 amas, even the Rabbanan would agree that it's going to be kosher. Let the Gemara ask, come on, who is that like? Let the Gemara says, Krib Zera, that's like Krib Zera. Da'amar mishrim tselhu. He said the reason why it's invalid higher than 20 amas is because you're not getting the shade of the sukkah. You're either getting the shade of the walls, or if there would be no walls, you'd be getting sunlight. Now, as Rashi says, if the reason were to be because of that one's vision doesn't get so far, then by having it a little bit more than 4 amas, that wouldn't help you. If it was very wide, maybe you'd see in the distance the height of the sukkah in the horizon. However, but just making a little bit more than 4 amas wouldn't help you see the top. And the same thing applies to the other opinion. And therefore, v'kivan d'revicha, since it's wider, it could sell sukkah. Therefore, you're going to have the shade of the sukkah. So therefore, this qualification of saying that it's 4 amas squared, but more than that, it will be kosher, according to Rabbanan, must be because the Chachamim knew that if one makes it a little bit wider than 4 amas squared, then the shade of the walls will not be totally overlapping. You will have some shade from the schach. Hence, you'll be sitting in the tzel of a sukkah, and therefore then you'll be sitting in the sukkah, which again is only letzel, as Reb Zera had interpreted. Now the Gemara brings another similar. Kaman azla hada amarav chanam bar rabba amarav, which is the third version of Rav. Now, he says, Machlekes b'she'en machzekes el kedei reisha berubi v'shalchan. He says, the whole machlekes between Yehuda and the Chacham, regarding if it's invalid high in 20 amas or not, was only if it will only contain his head, the majority of his body, and his table. Now, Rashi does say, now, if one will ask that we have three different versions of Rav, which one is that like? Obviously, we'll say that it's a machlekes amaram in the correct version of Rav. But he defines it that they were only talking about a case where it's 7 tvachim, which is, that's something that contains a person's head, the majority of his body, and his table in the sukkah. And then they had a machlekes regarding that small area of how big a sukkah could be. That's when they had the machlekes regarding higher than 20 amas. Aval machzekes yoyisim echdei reisha berubi v'shulchanai. But if the sukkah would contain more than his head, the majority of his body in this table, then the fill of ma'ilam esrim amak sher, then even if it's more than 20 amas, even the Rabban would agree that it's kosher. That the Gemara is command. Which one of the three opinions of Rabbi, Bezer, and Rava that we quote on Amin Alf would be going like that qualification? The Gemara says, Leikachad, that wouldn't be going like any one of those opinions that we had mentioned before. Why is it possible higher than 20 amas? Because if the reason is because one's vision doesn't see that high generally, then by being a little bit more than Reisha v'rubi v'shulchanai, a person still wouldn't see the schach. If the reason was because of shade, as we said before, one doesn't get more shade when the walls are higher than 20 amas, unless it's at least more than 4 amas, not a little bit more than Reisha v'rubi v'shulchanai. And also regarding the invalidation of, because higher than 20 amas, the walls have to be kavua, they have to be established. Now, if it's going to be more than Reisha v'rubi v'shulchanai, that will not make it any less kava. It's still going to be a sukkah kavua. And if it's still going to be possible, according to all those three interpretations, must be that Rav Chana bar Rabba is not like any of them. And that is, we don't know his reasoning why he says it's possible l'mayla mechavama. But he says, either way, that invalidation is only when it's Reisha v'rubi v'shulchanai. But if it's a little bit bigger, then even the Rabbanan would agree that it's going to be kosher. Now the Gemara goes back to qualify these three interpretations, which are qualifications of the halacha, just like we did regarding the Rabba, Reb Zeira, and Rava, why each one didn't say like the other in the actual source of the halacha. Now we have these three different versions of what Rav said in qualifying the halacha. When did we say that it's possible l'mal m'chaf am or not? Why each one of these three opinions didn't say like each other. So the Gemara says, Bishlema de Rabbi Yeshua. We could understand Rabbi Yeshua that he qualified the halacha that it's only possible if the walls don't reach the schach. But if they reach the schach, then it's going to be kosher. That he was Paliga ad Rav Huna of Rav Chana bar Rabba. He argued on the second, the last two versions of Rav. The Inu Koyov the Shi'ur b'meshchel, because they were giving measurements in the length, in the area of the sukkah. The Iu Loi Koyov Shi'ur b'meshchel, but he wasn't giving measurements in the meshchel, which is the term meshech, which is the distance in the sukkah. Because he was saying whether it's a big sukkah, whether it's a small sukkah, the whole machlekes was regarding if the walls reach the sukkah or not. Meaning if they don't reach, then we had the machlekes. But if their walls reach, then they didn't have such a machlekes. And that was his qualifying factor, but nothing to do with the area of the sukkah, but rather if the walls meet or not. If it doesn't, then they argue. If it does, then they don't argue. El Rav Huna, Rav Chana bar Rabba. But both of them, they say that the reasons of the Rabbanan was regarding the area of the sukkah, which one opinion said of Dalet Amos, the other one said of Reisha Rubin Shulchanai. Now, Neima Behechshra Sukkah, let's say, regarding the kashrus of the sukkah in its length and its width, kamifugi, that's what they're arguing about. And that is because both of them hold that when do the Rabbanan argue? In other words, they're both arguing, it seems like, in the same arena, which is not the same as Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua was talking about a different qualifying factor, nothing to do with the area of the sukkah, saying if it meets the walls, meets the schachana. Here they're both saying in measurements. One says they only argue in Reish Rubin Shulchanah, which is a very small area, and the other one says a little bit bigger, it's much bigger, but Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos, but again, it's regarding that area, and more than that, both of them said that even the Rabban would agree it's going to be kosher. So the Gemara wants to say that it sounds like what they're arguing about is regarding what is the smallest measurement that a sukkah could be in its length. But if it's more than the minimum measurement, then according to Rabbanan, whichever pin you're going like, then it's going to be kosher even though it's very high. And the reason is, since if it's very wide, then you'll get either the tzel of the sukkah, as we said by Rav Huna, or some other reason why it's going to be kosher, because it doesn't seem like by the Reish of Rubin Shulchanah that you'll get the tzel of a sukkah higher than 20 amas. But either way, it sounds like what they're arguing about is regarding what's the minimum measurement of a sukkah. The Marasavra that Rav Huna held, Hechsher Sukkah b'arba amas, that the minimum measurement that a sukkah could be to be kosher is 4 amas, because Rav Huna holds that you can't say their machlikis was less than 4 amas, because then, even this, even not being higher than 20 amas, it would be invalid, because the kosherus of a sukkah is only 4 amas, as the opinion of Rebbe is on the coming daf. Umar Sav, however, Chan Barab is held that Hechsher Sukkah b'machzikis Reisha b'rubi v'shulchanai is enough if it just contains his head, the majority of his body, and his table. Now, the reason for that is because the way their meals used to be eaten was with behesaba, which they would be reclining on couches and they would lean on their left side. Now, they wouldn't sit, they wouldn't eat sitting straight up like we do. And therefore, that's why the qualifying factor to be kosher for a sukkah was to have reisha v'rubai, to have his head and the majority of his body, which would exclude if it only contained his head and his table, but not the majority of his body, or his head and the majority of his body, but not his table. But either way, it sounds like that's what they're arguing about, because they both say when it's a little bit bigger, then it's going to be kosher. It's only when it sounds like the minimum measurement, that's when they have the argument if it could be higher than 20 amos or not. So it sounds like they're arguing about the shear of the sukkah. Is the shear of the minimum 4 amos squared, or is it reish of rubi v'shulchanah? The thing where it says loy. The kuli alma hechsher sukkah reish of rubi v'shulchanah. You could say that everyone, even Rav Huna, agrees that the minimum measurement for a sukkah, if you want to get the smallest possible, is enough just to have your head, majority of your body, and your table in the sukkah. The hacha b'hokim, however, this is what they're arguing about if it was from reish of rubi v'shulchanah, or up until 4 amas. And that is the mar sava, Reb Chana bar Rabba held, b'machzekes reishe v'rubi v'shulchanai pligi. Avo yoysim reishe v'rubi v'shulchanai. Divrei hakol k'sher, then everyone would agree that it's going to be kosher. And now, as Rashi says, the reason why it's invalid higher than 20 amas, we don't know, because it's not like any of the three opinions that we mentioned on Ahmed Aleph, because we said that he's not like either one of them. But either way, it's only that they argue about regarding the smallest measurement. Once it's bigger than that, then everyone agrees even higher than 20 amos is going to be kosher. Umar Sava, Rav Huna held that Mereisha v'rubi v'shulchanai ad dalet amos pligi, that they were arguing up until, that it could only be kosher up until a height of 20 amos, only from the minimum measurement up until when you get it an area of 4 amos squared, that all those types of sukkah in that amount would be that the Rabbanan would argue and say it's invalid up to 20 amas, if it's higher than 20 amas. And the reason is because then we said you're not going to get the shade. Now, Avol Yeshem Medalad Amos, Dira Kol Kshera, but more than Dalad Amos, that's when he was qualifying, that Rav Huna was qualifying, that then even Rabban would agree that's going to be kosher. And the reason is because once it's wider than 4 amas squared, then you get the tzel of a sukkah. And therefore, there's no raya to say that they're arguing about what's the minimum measurement. Maybe Rav Huna agrees the minimum measurement is only Reish Rubber Sukhanai. However, he still held the Rabban would say it's possible up until 4 amas squared, because you're not going to be getting, like Rav Zer had said, the tzel of sukkah. But when it's more than 4 amas squared, then you're going to be getting at least some tzel sukkah, and that's where Rav Huna said, that's when Rabban would agree that it's going to be kosher, even l'mayla m'chaf amah, because the main criteria is, like Rav Zer had said, to get the shade of the sukkah. Now the Gemara says meisvit. Now the Gemara is going to ask from the following braisa, specifically on Rav Huna and Rav Chanan bar Rabba, that regarding that their definition of why it's possible a sukkah l'mayla m'chaf amah, sounds like it's because of the area of the sukkah. So the braisa brings as follows. Sukkah she gevoyla malam esrim amah psula. So the Braisa tells us, the halacha of our Mishnah, that a sukkah that's the schach is higher than 20 amas is going to be invalid. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, as he says in our Mishnah, he says it's kosher. Adar bam, b'chamish mama, even up until 40 or 50 amas. Now, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'll prove to you that a sukkah is kosher higher than 20 amas. Because maisa behilni hamalka below, there was a story with Hilni, the queen, in Lod. Her sukkah was higher than 20 amas. Now the elders, the Talmid HaChacham, were coming in and out over there. And they didn't tell her anything. Now obviously, if there was something wrong with the sukkah, they would have told her. Obviously, a sukkah that higher than 20 amas is kosher. So Amalai said, the Chacham said to Yehuda, Misham Raya, you bring a proof from there? Isha Haisa, she's a woman. Ubiturim in the sukkah. Women are parted from the sukkah. Why should they tell her anything? She could be sitting wherever she wants to. And that's why they didn't say anything. So Amalahan, Rabbi Yehuda responded to them, what do you mean? But Leshiva Banam Havala. He only had 7 sons, and which they have to sit in the sukkah. V'ayid, and moreover, Kol Maseh Le'asasa El Al-Pi Chacham. Whatever she did, she only did based on what the sages would tell her. And if it's obvious, she would have made a kosher sukkah. And from the fact that they didn't tell her anything and she was sitting in a sukkah higher than 20 amas, must be that it's kosher. Now, the Gemara first asks on what Yehuda said. Lomeli Lemisni, why did he have to say after he said that there are 7 sons, V'yoyed and moreover kol maaseh lo yasasa el pi chacham, that whatever she did, she only did based on the sages. What do you need that sentence? Just, you already said that she had sons who have to sit themselves in the sukkah, and therefore we know that it must have been kosher. So Hachikam al Huda, so Rabbi Huda, why he added that sentence was he wanted to say as follows. Now, because he was forewarning what they could have answered him. Kisaim Rubanim Kitanim Hayu. Oh, and if you're going to tell me that maybe they were minors, they were small children, Ukitanim Pturim Nesukah, and small children are also exempt from the sukkah, and therefore again you would tell me there's no raya because they also don't have to sit in the sukkah. However, Kivan, the Shiva Hava, since there were 7 of them, that maybe it's not possible that it's not possible that there wasn't one that doesn't need his mother. Now, the Gemara will tell us later on the Chav Chesem and Aleph that the obligation to be mechanech, to train a child in the mitzvahs, are case specific for every mitzvah when they're able to fulfill that mitzvah. The qualifying factor for sukkah is that the child doesn't need his mother anymore, which at a certain age. Now, if there's 7 sons, there's going to be one at least old enough that doesn't need his mother anymore. And therefore, you see that they had 7 sons. Must be one is obligated, and that's why I first told you that there were seven sons. So therefore, one had the chiyuv, and therefore must have been a kosher sukkah, or else they would have told her that your son's not fulfilling the chiyuv. Now the added sentence was, "V'chitemru katan shein tzarach le'imay midrabanu hudechayiv." If you're going to tell me that you're right, that there is an obligation for the son that reaches that age that he doesn't need mama anymore to sit in the sukkah, but that's only rabbinic. And that's because min ha-Torah, the child only has to do it when he reaches bar mitzvah. Now, midrabanan, we require the parents to be margul the child, to get him accustomed to doing mitzvahs that he's fit to do already, that he should be mechunach in that. Now, that's only rabbinic. And vi'i, midrabanan lo mashkech, and you would tell me that you're right, that she wasn't so particular about isur midrabanan, and that's why she didn't make it in the proper height, and therefore, although she made it higher than 20 amas, it wasn't kasher. However, Tashma, that's what he added on the extra sentence, and you should just know, whatever she did, we know it was only based on the sages, and therefore she would listen to the sages who say there's a mitzvah of chinuch, which although it's drabana, she would have listened, and therefore it's obvious that a sukkah higher than 20 amas is kosher, because she was sitting, and her son had to sit in the kosher sukkah, must be higher than 20 amas, is a kosher sukkah. So that was the braisa. Now, the Gemara concludes the question as follows. Contribution, the first qualification that the Gemara had brought on this Amid in the name of Rav, that he said the whole machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Chacham was only regarding a sukkah that the walls don't reach the schach, but if the walls would reach, then it would be kosher even according to Rabban and Haydn 20 Amis. So that would make sense for this story, which is conceptualizing this machlekes between Rav Yehuda and Rabbanan, because darka shel malka leisha besukah shein tefanas megis l'schach. It's normative to a queen to be sitting in a hut, a sukkah, that the walls don't reach the schach. And as we continue on top of Gimel and Alf, Mishum Avir, the reason is because of the ear, because they want fresh air, which it's very hot if it's an enclosed area. And therefore it makes sense that there is a machlekes that they were arguing, and they were using the case of Hilni Amalka to argue it over, if a sukkah higher than 20 amos that Hilni had, if that was kosher or not. Because that is when they argue, when the walls don't reach the schach. If it had reached, then everyone would have agreed that it would be kosher. Elamanda Amar, but according to the other two opinions of Rav Huna and Rav Chana by Rabba, that besukkah katana machlek is, that their whole machlek is regarding only when the sukkah is very small, whether it's Reshav Ruv V'Shulchanai, or whether Dalet Amos, but if it was a very large sukkah, it was bigger than at least 4 Amos squared, then even Rabbanan would agree that higher than 20 Amos is going to be kasher, but V'chidarka shel malka leisha besukkah katana, is it normative for a queen to be sitting in such a small hut? And therefore it seemed to be not like Rav Huna and Rav Chana by Rabba, because they say that the Rabbanan only argue when it's small. When it's big, even they agree it's kosher. But Hilni Amalka, they were arguing about it. And she doesn't sit in such a small sukkah, so it's on such a small sukkah, so it seems not like their opinions. So the Gemara answers no. Amar Rabba Bar Avada, Leinitzucha Ela Sukkah HaAsuya Kitonis Kitonis. It was that that she was sitting in the small sukkah, because although a queen with a whole entourage and everyone that the maidens and everyone that's helping her, although there's a lot of people, but they were sitting in, everyone had their little small hut. And therefore, it wasn't such a challenge and wasn't so inappropriate for her to be sitting in a small one, because everyone had, they were sitting in small huts by themselves. Everyone had their own little table and their hut. Now, the Gemara still asks, V'chidarka shel malka leisha besukah ha'asuya kitonis kitonis? You think it's the custom for a queen to be sitting in a sukkah that's made everyone sitting in their own little huts? But what do you mean? There's all these different people and servants and everyone that's around her that have to help her, and therefore it wouldn't make sense that everyone's sitting in their own little hut. So Amar Vashi leNitzucha el Kitonia Sheba, that you're right. There was a huge sukkah, as would be royal to have a large sukkah for everyone that is part of the royal family. Now, however, within that, there was connected to that a small sukkah for privacy for the queen, and she was sitting in that small one, and that's the one, whether it's Reisha Ruv B'Shulchanai or Da'alat Amos Squared, that was higher than 20 Amos, which they argued about, and therefore it's not a difficulty in Rav Huna, Rav Chana bar Rabba. And the explanation of the machlekes is as follows. Rabbanan savri b'nei b'sukkah ma'al yahav yasri. Rabbanan answered Rabbi Huda's taina with what about the sons, that the sons weren't sitting in their own private little booth. They were sitting in the large one. And therefore, they were fulfilling their chiv of the Rabbanan, which you're right, she did based on the chacham, which is the chiv of chinuch, to sit in the kosher sukkah. V'ihi yasav b'ketani is mishim tzniusa. However, she was sitting in the small one because of privacy for the queen. That's why they didn't tell her anything, because although it is possible higher than 20 amos when it's only Reisha Ruv B'Shulchanai or Dalet Amos Squared, didn't bother them because a woman is exempt from sukkah anyway. Yehuda held that no, b'nei gabba havayasvi. He held that the sons were sitting with her. Why would they wouldn't be sitting in their own sukkah, their own sons? And therefore, v'afil hachil amar l'dav, and still they didn't tell her anything. So obviously, that for the son that was obligated and it was higher than 20 amos, obviously it's kosher, and that's why he argues and he proves from there that a sukkah l'mayla mechav is going to be kosher. Now Rashi concludes this by saying that this answer for the opinions of Rav Huna and Rav Chana bar Rabba, it sounds like it really is only answering Rav Huna. But according to Rav Chanan, it would still be difficult, because the measurement of Reisha Ruv B'Shulchanai, the Gemara will later on explain, is only 7 tefachim. Now you cannot get 7 sons in 7 tefachim. Now, if that's the machlokes, and Rabbi Huda is saying that the sons were there, from that itself would be a contradiction to Rav Chana bar Rabba's interpretation, because no one was arguing if the sons could fit or not. The only question was, were they there or not? And you can't fit 7 sons in the area of 7 tefachim. And therefore, it's obvious, Rashi says, that at least Rav Chanan bar Rabba is definitely difficult from that brisa, and it sounds like that it was maybe 4 amos squared like Rav Huna, because she had her own private thing, but definitely not like Rav Chana bar Rabba to say that it was Reisha Verubai V'Shulchanai, and that more than that, it would be kosher.